I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom.
Big question, Big Zoo.
Hey, Big Fan, what's up?
So this is Spoke, and what my question is did you go to university?
Oh, I did.
Was it worth it?
It was kind of worth it.
Okay, so this is what we're going to be chopping it up all about today in today's show. My name is Fen, you are Big Zoo.
Hi.
Hi, that was nice.
Hi.
And today we're going to be talking about whether to learn or to earn. I guess you can learn and earn, but we're going to be saying one or the other.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that hard decision that a lot of young people go through where they have to decide whether they can go to uni or they're going to work.
Whether you're going to build that debt or you're just going to go straight in there.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
Is the education vital? For many people, when they hit the age of 18, they are met with the crossroads in their life, whether to go off to university for a degree or join the working world and build up their CVs to earn good pay.
There are pros and cons to both choices. University can help you prepare for a specific career path, introduce you to people from all over the country, give you a taste of independence, and can help you change your outlook on the world. But it can also be a very lonely place. A lot of students suffer from the increased mental health problems whilst at university. And on top of that, you will end up leaving with an average of 44K debt. Right now, I owe them 30 bags and it's pain.
So we're going to be talking about all the pros and the cons of going to university. Maybe not all of them, but a good majority of them.
Yeah, man.
And I'm pretty excited.
We're going to put it into perspective, man.
Should I rewind my university degree and just have gone straight in there? This is what we're going to find out. So let's get in. Okay, so this episode is to learn or to earn. We're with J-Hope and Simon.
Jeez.
And it's about to get lit.
It's about to get lit. This is Spoke. We're about to talk about peas. Learning, earning. Hey, Sideman.
Yes.
It's weird calling you a Sideman.
That's okay. It's what I am. I embrace it fully.
Tell us about the name.
Yeah, let them know who you are, man.
I'm a comedian. I'm a presenter. Motivational speaker, sex symbol, a lot of things really. Just trying to give myself to the arts, to the media, to people. But yeah, online comedian, stand up comedian as well, and reviewer of things. And yeah, I'll leave it there.
Mr. Hope,
how you doing?
Hello.
Good. Let them know who you are. Where you're from?
All right, so I'm a freelance violinist.
Jeez.
Sounds kind of dead, but you might catch me at a wedding. You might catch me at a award show. Might catch me, just, you know, friendly neighborhood violinist. I'm out and about, and yeah, you'll find me on the strings, whatever the event.
Jeez.
Okay, find me on the strings.
I love it. I love it, man. So obviously, you know, in life, we have to earn money.
Yeah.
To survive.
Yeah.
Especially in London.
That's a point. University, did you both go?
I didn't.
Yeah, I went.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you guys do?
I went, but I dropped out.
See, I went.
Yeah.
Did you commit?
You went.
I committed. Yeah. It was a struggle, but I done psychology.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't the plan, though.
So the question is...
I don't know why I find that funny.
I feel like the question is, does university matter? Should we go to university? And if so, why? If not, why not?
Well, we got both sides of the spectrum.
I'll be the harshest version of myself, because I probably don't even agree with this, but I'm just going to be the harshest version of myself, because this is how I feel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you ain't doing heart surgery, if you're not going to be a doctor, mm-hmm. or something where you actually have to learn this in order to do this craft, then uni's like borderline a waste of time.
Okay.
The entire educational system and how they choose to teach wastes a lot of your precious time by teaching you a lot of things that you don't need to learn. And I think that education is good because it teaches you... It teaches you about the format of learning, but I feel like you learn that between school and college. So when I say the format of learning, I mean in terms of knowing something from its root. So let's say you're going to learn about the human body, then you know about tissue, and then you know about bone marrow, and then everything that makes up that thing. You can then take that and apply it to anything. So let's say you're going to learn about, let's say, being a violinist in essence. Then you can learn about notes. Then you can learn about actually playing it physically. So like the layers of education that there are. But you learn from college, you kind of figure out how to study things, how to learn about things. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's all education is a lot of times, because a lot of the information you're learning, the real life application isn't there. And then when you go out into the world and you're supposed to get a job now, they want the experience that you couldn't get because you were too busy learning.
Yeah.
So it's just a bit of a mad thing for me. As I said, if you're a doctor, you can't touch me if you ain't been to uni. But for a lot of, especially jobs in the arts, a lot of that stuff, a good couple YouTube tutorials would teach you more than uni would teach you in a year.
Yeah.
From one day.
No, I hear that side of the story, definitely. Unless you have a vision that's mapped out, say you want to be an engineer or a computer scientist or whatever it is, something like that, you kind of need to get that degree. You need to learn a certain amount before you can enter a job like that. But you do miss out on the experience, but I'd say uni teaches you the other things. You build a network of people that you might not have met otherwise. You kind of learn how to manage your time. You just, it's a different experience that you wouldn't get from not going. So a lot of the time I feel like you do end up teaching yourself, which is a disadvantage. Like you go there and you're thinking, I'm paying $9,000 for someone to look at the slides and read off it, and I could do that in my own time. But at the same time, it's the whole atmosphere, the whole energy, the whole network you build from being there that brings you through to another stage in your life, even if you don't necessarily use that degree. You know, because it's really only 3 or 4 years of your life in the grand scheme of things. In the grand scheme of things, it's not.
Nah, man.
It's not everything.
Nah, I felt away. When I was in college, I was like, yo, I can't do this. I can't. There's no way I can go uni and give away 3-4 years of feeling like I can already do what I want to do. Yeah. And, you know, when you talk about...
But you were lucky in that sense, knowing what you wanted to do. For some kids out there, they didn't necessarily know.
But that's what I mean. I think, and it goes back to him saying about, like... J-Hope saying about the experience of uni and everything like that. I think fear has a lot to do with it because it's like the structure is comfortable. A structure's there put in place. I feel like I had as many experiences. I created networks and met people going out there and doing what I want to do. And I feel like there's, as I said, from school and college, there's formats and ways of learning how to figure out what it is you want in life without having to go to uni and sit down in a class for somebody to try to tell you. Because half the time people go uni and do a course to only figure out, oh, this therefore ain't what I want to do. Do you get what I'm saying? You can do a mind map at home, bro. You ain't got to go all the way to uni to figure out what you want to do. You can say, listen, let me watch a video on what it's like to do this job, and then let me watch a video on what it's like to do that job. Google is your friend.
Yeah. It depends. If you're the type of person where you're driven in that sense, where you got to do this research to find out whether you want to do this kind of job or whether you want to do something else. Some people want to just... go and have uni just as like it's like a little safety blanket where you can say, all right, I'm definitely gonna learn something, I'm definitely gonna get a degree, and I'm definitely gonna have I'm gonna have more of an idea of what I want to do once I leave. But uni is definitely better for people who know that they're studying something because they know they want to be in that career. But then if you're still kind of unsure, it's a safety blanket. And if you have no idea why you're going to uni, then maybe it's better to work it out without going.
And this might sound harsh, but I don't think that driven should be like a type of person. Type of person is like...
You
know,
I think it is within you. Like, it is. There's a certain, like, drive, and it's like... I'm sorry to cut in there, but I think there is, like, a certain drive that every person in this room is blessed with, that we are here. Like, some people just don't necessarily have that. And it's hard to not to understand if you don't have it, or like if somebody else, if you have it, it's hard to think of life without it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're blessed in the sense that you are so driven that you've made it to here.
I get what you're saying, but I think that we do a lot of that stuff to ourselves. Like, I like to be unplugged from the matrix, innit? So we can just say that sentence and then just let that be that. But I like to ask, why is it that I'm driven and somebody else is not? What are the reasons for it? And should being like, type of person to me is whether you like planting or not. You get what I'm saying? But like, driven to me is a personality trait that everybody should strive to have. It's not sort of like something like, he's driven, I'm not, I accept it. Nah, I don't think that that's one of them things.
But it's not so much that they accept it, they just don't think like you would. Like for me, like, I don't, like, and I think this is something that we should definitely get onto, is your story. For me, I know as a kid, I was 15, getting on a bus to London, because I didn't live in London, lived in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, none of my family were in film and TV, but for some reason, I got on that bus every day to be in this industry. Every other kid at my school who were doing work experience were like, why are you doing that? That's crazy. I didn't know why I was doing it, but that's something in me.
But I don't know. There's somebody out there that didn't think they could do something until somebody said, yeah, you can, and then they realized they could. Therefore, that tells me that I'm not going to speak into people's lives and say, yo, you might just not be driven. I'm going to say to people, if you ain't driven, you can be. That's just how I feel to say it.
Of course,
because,
everyone can be.
Because the potential is within everybody to have that kind of drive. And I just feel like too many times we accept normality or accept mundaneness because we feel like that's my lot in life. Like, I could have easily... My life was set up for me to believe that, you know. Mm. I wasn't poor. I was poor. There's a difference. You get what I'm saying? When you poor, the electricity sometimes isn't goes off. When you poor, it was never on. Like, there's a different level. I was growing up in Jamaica, and the part of Jamaica that I was growing up in, I had to walk down the road to get water. There was no tap. That's how I grew up. I believe from them times, this is not my lot in life. Do you get what I'm saying? So everything, my environment was built to tell me that I should just accept that I'm going to live and die here.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just feel like, what is the factor then if it's not your environment? Because it's like you say, you was in an entire family that wasn't in the arts, and then something in you just said, I want to do the arts. And that's why I just like to tell people, yo, you can do it, innit?
Yeah.
You can get up one day and decide. You know what's mad, I think when you do stuff like what we do, like in terms of like me putting out comedy videos every day on Instagram, taught me something massive about life, you know? I can think something and then make it be a thing from a thought. Because imagine, let's say with the Love Island reviews, I did 49 Love Island reviews. 49 Love Island reviews, we've only taken the Saturday off. So that's 49 videos in a row.
Yeah.
That's 49 videos in like 54 days.
Yeah.
That teaches me that I can think something in terms of what the video will be and then put it out there.
Mm.
That teaches me a bigger lesson about life. One day I can get up and decide to do something I never did any of the days prior to.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
But it's hard for someone that's been like normalizing to see for me, because obviously I went uni and I dropped out, so I feel like I got like both sides of it. Like, and I understand what you're talking about. I just think that like I'm one of my only friends that does something that's like musical. A lot of my friends like they work like normal like 9 to 5s and that, and it's like, I think it comes down to your family. I think your family is a big influence, isn't it? Also, what you come from, like what you explained, is something that, you know what I'm saying? You have to have that grind in you, or you're just gonna be stuck there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Whereas some people
come from like a comfortable home, a comfortable situation, so they just feel like, right, I need to go uni because I've been told that's how I'm gonna get my job. Yeah. I need to go, and I've been told that's how I'm gonna make money. Because the reason why we go uni, I feel like a lot of people, this is what I clocked when I was going uni. A lot of people are going uni to become successful, and being successful technically is having money. Having money, buying a house, having your kids.
Yeah.
How do you get that? You go uni, you get a job. Now you're gonna have a salary for the rest of your life. But if you break it down, this is why I think it's important for what you were saying. Like, when you leave college, you do have the keys to be able to tell yourself, if I want to make money in this field, I don't necessarily have to go to uni. But I feel like, because a lot of people at the age of 18 haven't got their thing sorted,
they're
just like, yo, I'm leaving college, what am I gonna do? Right, I might as well just go uni and do economics.
That's the thing. Like, your mindset was actually set from a young age because of the way you've grown up.
There's a matrix that's been created that
do you know, I think it's to do with genes as well. I think, like, there are traits in my dad, both my mum and dad, that I see in...
It's half and half. I think it's half and half. Like, my mum and dad are not grime MCs, innit?
No, but like... the drive.
They don't like the art state. I mean, they like it, but they don't think it's, like, feasible. They don't think it's possible.
Oh, my dad the same. Like,
do you know what I'm saying?
But there was a grind. She's talking about the attribution.
Like,
the
hard work.
Yeah.
That's in you.
Yeah.
But there are some people
who... This is what you're saying isn't.
Yeah.
Or not necessarily isn't. But it can be in everybody.
Yeah, I just think that there are people that grew up privileged as well that decided to make even more money. For instance, let's say Donald Trump for an example. Terrible example, but his dad gave him a million, however, and he decided to make more millions. Do you get what I mean?
But that is I think that is a thing within a certain person.
Yeah.
And I think it is I don't know. I just don't want to, but the other thing is, and I agree with you, like anything is possible for everyone.
Yeah.
And it is just important to make sure that everybody knows that, like, when you're a kid.
I don't even want to say anything is possible for everyone, because you will try something and you will fail. I'm just talking about the attributes of determination, being driven, being willing to try.
I think something has to click for everyone to get to that point. Don't get me wrong, something has to motivate you.
Being a person that talks to people, I do talk to people, and it's like there is a wall there. I've got a friend here, and she don't like her job. And I've said to her, just look at what other jobs might be available. She's like, no, it's a really good paying job. I've got these kids. And I never said, leave the job. I said, look. Look. If there's up to this day, I've been telling her for months, this girl will not go onto Google and check what other jobs are available. Because in her head, this is her lot in life. So don't. Sometimes I do get that there's a wall there. But something in me just refuses to believe that wall can't be broken down. Yeah. And I think that that's just the conditioning of the system that we live in.
Oh, 1,000%.
Where we... Listen, man, I can't even speak because I haven't been to uni. But if it's anything like college felt like at sometimes... You are wasting a lot of
your
time.
Different. Uni is different to college. Uni is different. I mean, there's aspects that are very similar, but because it's so focused on that one subject, especially if you, like me, I was doing youth work and I love youth work. So when I was going to uni, I was like doing works and I'm like, bro, I'm actually learning about like skills to actually help me in like things that are still like used today. But there is the flip side where I thought if I was actually out here working in youth clubs, I might have gained a bit more. So it's hard.
Yeah, it depends what subject you study. Like for me, I studied something that was not really. At the end of the day, it wasn't relevant to what I originally wanted to do, but I thought, I want to get to uni, or want to have that experience. Mm-hmm. But it was actually through uni that I've ended up taking my violin more seriously as a career, because that was what gave me the platform to even start performing.
Mm-hmm. You did psychology, innit?
Yeah, I done psychology, so it's completely unrelated.
Are the two subjects that people do the most that they don't end up doing a job in?
But at the same time, I also done a placement through psychology, and I've ended up going back to work there at some point.
Okay.
So it's given me a bit of security at some point in my life. When I first left uni, I realised I didn't want to do psychology. I don't want to study further. So is this actually useful for my life? Did I just waste 4 years? But I have ended up working back at the place I done on placement. And if it wasn't for uni, maybe I still would have been performing. Maybe I still would have met similar people. Yeah. But it gave me the platform and the confidence to take this more seriously. Which I wouldn't have got without going to my uni.
I was just going to say, I can completely relate. Like, I moved to London. I went to uni, really, because this whole thing of, like, one, my dad was like, what are you going to do? What are you going to study? And I wanted to study a proper degree, so I studied English, which apparently is a proper degree, but I don't know. There's like, to and fro of what you should do, especially when you grow up with Jamaican dad. Yeah. So, I went to uni to study English, but then the one thing was is that I must go to uni in London, because that's where I found, one, I was already interning, and that's where I felt like I fitted in. That's where I knew that I wanted to make a career. So being in London, I managed to get an internship at the BBC whilst I was studying. And so because I had this safety net of uni, I could study, work at the BBC or intern at the BBC, managed to then get a job working on just working with the camera team on the one show. Yeah. And it is through uni that I was able to do all of that. Also through uni that I met so many people who also worked in film who I now still work with.
It works sometimes. I mean, it works.
It's so individual. Like, I feel like everybody's experience is so individual.
I think what I really would want is just for them to take a relook at it
and how
to just make it and maximise its efficiency and its effectiveness. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
But I think what it is more so like the journey from uni to that job, because now you're in this job, now you have this career that is like, for you, you look back and you think uni wasn't necessary. Yeah. And I agree with you. Yeah. Like, I look at what I'm doing now and I'm like, uni wasn't necessary, but for me to have got there, it helped in the journey. Like, and that's the sad thing is that, like, somebody's gonna look at your CV and see a degree and like, okay, we'll take her for that job.
But I feel like that's happening a lot less.
I agree with that, definitely.
As I said, I preface this by saying there's some jobs that need a degree. Like I said,
that's
if you're a
nice
doctor,
word, preface.
You cannot touch me as a doctor if you do not have your master's, your everything. Do you know what I mean? So as I said, with some jobs, they're very important, but especially jobs in the arts. Like, if there's a rapper out there going uni to like become a rapper, I just don't know.
It's definitely
Hunt Caprio is a good example of going to uni, securing a degree in something just because, I don't know, maybe it was his parents' influence, maybe it was his, you know, maybe it's the way he grew up, maybe he thought uni was the only way, but he was always grinding on the side of what he was doing, and this is where he is now, you know.
Because essentially university is education, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm not against, I'm not against the idea of education.
Yeah.
I'm saying there's other ways to learn.
Yeah,
I'm saying to somebody, if you manage to discipline, as I said, I feel like school and college is a form of teaching you discipline, because when you grow up, actually, you get to discover that, you know, when you're in school, you think the whole time, I can't wait to get out of this so I can be a big person and do what I want. Then you go work and realize this isn't that much different from school. I have a time. If you're doing a 9-to-5, I have a time I need to be at work, and I have a time I need to leave, and my boss tells me when I can urinate. So like, it's not that much different from school, innit? it's a lot like the same. So it does teach you that that discipline.
No, definitely.
So if you can apply that, if you could apply that said discipline to watching certain YouTube tutorials a day on the thing that you want to do, imagine how much you would learn in a year in comparison.
Bro, 100%.
Yeah, because even lectures, you end up, even if you miss lectures, it's online. Like, the amount of times I just didn't go to lectures, I was watching everything on YouTube or whatever videos they made.
Bro, as soon as I learned how to use Final Cut,
teaching yourself,
as soon as I learned how to use Final Cut in college, I was lit.
Yeah.
I was lit, bro. I said, because I personally think editors rule the world. If you know how to edit, you won't have to wait on people.
Yeah.
That's true.
What is your story from birth to now? Birth.
So I was, I'm going to be very succinct. I was born in Jamaica. As I said, poor. And
Can I try and say it?
Well, poor.
Poor. Yes. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Turned out Spanish.
So I knew that I weren't gonna survive there, not even physically.
Yeah.
Like I left when I was like 11, and the amount of you are a full blown adult at 11 years old. Yeah.
Definitely.
I still have almost as much stories from there than I do here, and I'm 27 now. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? So. Yeah, but I knew I couldn't do what I wanted to do in life there because I had a mouth on me, and Jamaica, like, I was a person that liked rules, and Jamaica don't have no rules.
Nah,
so like
unruly.
It's very unruly. Like, if I'm standing in a queue and then the bad man comes and then decides to go to the front, then that's what happened, and you just have to accept that's what happened. But I would say something, and very early on, people were telling me, yo, you're gonna die.
You're gonna die
if you stay. I remember this happening, and it's not because I was a bad man. I want to make it clear, it's not because I thought I was a bad man. I just believed in my rights to that extent. I wasn't trying to win the fight. I was trying to die. I was willing to die over the principle and the thoughts I had in my head. I remember when I moved to a worse area, and I was at this school. And these guys said, give me your lunch money. We had $60 for lunch money. That's not a lot, by the way. $60 for lunch money at the time. And they said, give me your lunch money. And I said, nah. And they took me outside the school. And you remember when they used to have them board rulers?
The
board
one.
And they beat me with that, crossed my face everywhere with that. And then they walked off. And then I laughed when they walked off. And they came back and they beat me again. And then when they walked off, I said, all right, I've learned. I'm not going to laugh, but I'm going to smile so I can feel some power within myself. But one of them turned around just as I went to smile and saw me smile, and they came back and gave me another beating. So it's like stuff like that used to happen to me, and I realized. And then it's like my parents, it weren't anything to do with me. My dad is a preacher, and he got a preaching engagement in the UK, and then that's what brought us all here, and then we ended up living here. First place I lived here was Ipswich. I lived in Ipswich and I was the only black person in my school, but I loved it. I'm not going to lie, you know, it was lit because they looked at me like
celebrity.
Girls was like feeling my skin.
Superpower.
It was crazy. It's like they had never seen a black dude before, I swear to. And I remember in the first week, this girl invited me. This girl invited me to her house for dinner. And I was asking my parents, can I go in there? But my parents weren't with that at all. They were like, wait, what? you guys didn't even hit puberty. You talk about inviting for dinner. So I didn't get to go. Sorry, Lauren. But anyway, and then I ended up moving to Brom. And then coming from Jamaica, and then moving to what people are telling me is the second city, I'm thinking I'm in the Big Apple. I'm thinking I'm where it happens. So I'm growing up in Brom trying to achieve these things, doing comedy and stuff like that, always having this dream. And then I've hit a ceiling in Brom, come to London to find out that you lot look at Brom like you look at Ipswich. There's not much difference between Brom and the village. And I'm thinking, this is supposed to be the second city. And it really is like that because there are no platforms in Brom. Like, let's say you're an artist in Brom, yeah. What's the one extra that you go to in Birmingham? What's the fire in the booth? What's the Kenny All-Star freestyle? What is it?
It's DJ Free and JK.
Bro, unless you can get a feature with JK or something, then it's Pete for you.
Yeah.
But even look at the big Birmingham rappers. Where do they go? They come to London. They have to. Mystic come to London. Lady Alicia come to London long before everybody. Clocked the play long time before everybody else. And everybody was trying to figure out, how did she do it? And we didn't. Because there was a time when it was just her.
She was the number one.
And that was because she come here long time. And that's what happened to me. Somebody looked at me and said to me, yo, nobody big in Brom ever stayed here to make it. And I was like, and he went back as far as, what's his name again? The guy that ate the bat. He went back as far as Ozzy Osbourne and said, because people don't even think about the fact that Ozzy Osbourne's from Brom. He's like, nobody makes it here. Leave.
Mike Skinner.
I didn't even know that Mike Skinner was from Brom. Exactly.
I can't hear the accent.
So I'm trying to tell you. Somebody said that to me, and then I started doing videos with London people. It all started with gigs, and that was a random one. And I'll tell this little story. I'm trying to be succinct. But when I started doing a series on YouTube called Roadman, and the first episode of Roadman that I did, I bought myself a new camera lens, and I said, this is the start of a great thing. This is going to be the thing that blows me. And I go to put the lens on the camera, and I said to myself before this whole process started, something's going to happen that's going to deter me. If you're somebody that's trying something new, just know when you start out, something is going to deter you massively in the beginning from ever carrying on. I said to myself, when this situation happens, I'm going to see it, I'm going to acknowledge it, and I'm going to press on. I put the lens on the camera, the lens drops on the floor, breaks. £80 lens, which is expensive to me at the time. And I looked at the lens there on the floor for about 13 seconds, and I put the dead lens on, and I carried on filming, and I just moved on. And that same video from that first episode of Roadman, I created a clip from it and put it on Instagram, and Gig shared it. Or even that's mad.
Yeah, of course.
The way that life just spun that around. If I had decided not to film that day, that would have been it.
Yeah.
So when Gigs posted that video, I messaged him and asked him to do a video with me, and he said yeah, and then we did the video. At that point. That was mad to me. Gigs is a mirage to somebody in Birmingham. You've probably seen him around.
He's still a superhero.
But superhero is something that I can't explain it, bro. He was not real to us.
Gigs is
funny because these times I don't think I'm nobody. I've built up a little bit of a following. Right. I don't even want to get into numbers, but I had a little bit of a following, And literally, he said, I don't understand this video. Explain it to me on the phone. Sends me his number. I call him. He answered the phone. He sounds like Gigs. I know that sounds bad. But the first thing I thought in my head is, it's him. Actually him. So anyway, we did that video and then I posted it. So obviously Gigs and Charlie Slough are cool. He sees that video and follows me. I ask him, would you do a video with me? He says, yeah. Then blanks me for a year and a half straight after that. And when I say blanks for a year and a half straight after that, I messaged him hundreds of times. Anything you can think of that I could say, I said, this is gonna say, everything beggy you think I could say, I was like, bro, I told all my friends about the video. Anything you can think of that a man would say, I said it, bro. I was like, bro, I've unsended them all now, but when I used to look and why did I unsend them? Because there's no point now. We're cool. I don't need to be going into our DMs when we have a conversation and be seeing all of that pain. But
that's why he was consistent, bro. He tried, didn't he?
But he's seen the messages. That's what was the worst part. He wasn't not seeing them.
He said seen.
So he was seeing them. So
how long ago was this?
This would have been 2.5 years ago now, because he blanked me for a year and a half. But I kept messaging him. And then one day, I'm in the cinema watching Thor, but it's for the second time, because if it was the first time, no one would get an answer call. I'm the biggest Thor fan ever. Yeah. So I see, and it's him. So I go outside, but I can't really hear him properly. Said, come London Thursday. I'm like, okay, cool, safe. I don't know what I'm going there for. I'm thinking it could be a fire in the booth. I'm thinking it could be an interview. I don't know what I'm going there for. Yeah. I walk into the room with him and his producer, yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Alex at the time, and they say to me, we're going to test how you and Charlie sound on the mic. I say, what do you mean you're going to test how we sound on the mic? He's like, you're going to do this show on Radio 1 with Charlie. I was like, I started crying. I was like, what do you mean I'm going to do a show? I have no history of radio experience. Whatsoever.
You just make
it. I've always been a fan of radio. The biggest radio presenter that I'm a fan of is Charlemagne the God.
Yeah.
I really like that guy. He's a G.
Says it as it is,
and I feel like I'm that kind of person. Mm. So it's like when that opportunity came to me, and even though I say, you know, I had no experience in radio, I don't want it to make it seem like I jumped hoops because I was working hard. I hit a ceiling in Brom but I don't know what it is yet. But Charlie clocks northern people. In the same way that he helped Bugsy Malone back in the day.
Yeah.
And like, he saw something in me and thought, this kid can do this.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? And obviously I'm appreciative for that. But yeah, so I came up here and then he, of course, left One Extra and went out to Beats. And then I got my own show.
That's it.
And then got my own show on One Extra. So that's the story of Balamori, man.
Grind, bro.
And I listened to it this weekend.
Yeah, listen to it this weekend, Sunday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. But nice. it was a madness. But just to tell people to just persevere, and I believe that in everybody's journey, there's going to be one or two people that just come along, see you where you are, and elevate you.
100%.
And you just got to keep. Yeah. Imagine if in that year and a half,
of him airing,
I had stopped working.
I had
stopped grinding.
And gave up.
And you know what? He showed me an email of when he sent it to the BBC boss, that he wanted me on the show, and it was a year before he hired me for the show. A year before.
So maybe in that year,
all of the emotions that I ever felt of what's the point sometimes, where am I going, is this even going to work out? There was a plan for me in the waiting. Radio 1?
Not even One Extra.
From Radio, and I did Radio 1 for a whole year. There was Adepti's show.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Adept a Radio 1 show and covered a Radio 1 show by myself.
A comedian from Yard.
And then from Brom.
And Birmingham.
With the Birmingham accent.
Yeah.
And on Radio 1.
When I started doing videos on Instagram, at first, Birmingham accent is all anybody ever spoke about.
Birmingham accent,
worse than chlamydia, blah, blah, blah. Speaking to somebody that's had both, I don't know what they're talking about. But anyway, but yeah, I'm joking. That's a joke. But seriously, like I had to persevere through that because when I first started doing the comedy thing, it was I had to find tactical ways of getting ahead.
Yeah.
Because I clocked what the game was, and I think I clocked it like maybe a year earlier before everybody else clocked it, that followers is going to be so much currency.
Yeah.
It's gonna tell people so much about whether they want to work with you or not.
Yeah.
Buzz is gonna be a deciding. There was a time in the industry. Yeah, I feel like there's two industries: the reality star industry, and then you have the more like the radio, the TV, the more official things.
Yeah.
Or like, let's say you want to be an actor. There was a time where if you ever did reality TV, they'd tell you you'll never be an actor. I think them days are gone.
Yeah, you could do anything.
I think if you've got followers, they'll let you do anything.
I think that is an important saying, like. I kind of feel like that's changing slightly because people are now need some kind of substance.
You have to have both.
Yeah, and luckily,
can't be out here without substance.
That's the thing, I think, and again, like, I think that we're lucky in here that we all kind of do have, like, I don't have a massive following, but, like, you have, like, a massive following in my eyes, and I think it's, like, you have both.
I think it's just important
for all the listeners listening in that just because they might want to build a big following, that isn't enough.
Oh no, I know lots of people. I know lots of people with more followers than me that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's not going well for them. You have to have a business mind. I just played the game. I got followers on purpose. because I accepted the game for what it is. I accepted that there will be a bias based on this. Yeah. So if I can have substance and this at the same time, and how did I build following? My followers did not grow organically. Some people blow up. You know, like how you have like Alex from Glasto.
Yeah, blew up overnight.
Just blew up overnight. That is not how my followers grew. I grew my followers tactically. I saw I'm Just Bait coming up here. Mm-hmm. And he had about 200,000 followers at the time it was growing. And I was like, how can I get in with this guy? Because what people do is, all people do in the industry is ask for favors.
Yeah.
Without thinking of a way to make it be beneficial to both parties. Bro, can you just do this for me? No mention of what you could do for me. 100%. I like when somebody even tries to say something they could do for me, even though it wouldn't even help me. I like the fact that you thought to try it. Do you get what I'm saying?
So I messaged, I'm just saying,
I got a deal for you. Mm. I said, I do comedy videos here. Sometimes they get posted by Wall of Comedy. Sometimes they get posted by different pages. I'm going to put your name on all of them. There's no place that my videos would not go where your name ain't on it if you just post 3 of my videos a week. Half of my followers is from I'm Just Bait.
So wait, you pitched that to Ants?
Years ago.
That's a bad boy pitch.
When I say years ago.
That's a bad boy. What, the little thing that goes in your money account for that? Bro. That is...
Donkey years ago.
So what, when it has the little word that goes across the screen?
That's what...
The
little bro, I started that, bro. And then other comedians started doing it after this. He made that deal with other comedians. So at one point, if you go scroll back in my pages, I'm Just Bait over every video.
That's smart.
Over that was a very everything. Smart move.
Smart, and he was posting 3 videos a day for me for a year. Straight, and that's how I built my
following. I think that's how I see your thing anyway.
Yeah,
on someone else's thing.
Because that's how you build followers.
Yeah, hundreds.
You build followers by somebody bigger than you.
I was definitely shouting Ants like, yo, brother.
Everybody shouts Ants.
Pain on the wall.
You got, again, same thing with Ants as with Charlie. Charlie said to me, one of the reasons why he looked at me in a good light is because even though I was messaging him bare times, I was never disrespectful.
Yeah.
I don't take anything in this game personal. Bro, these people are not your friends or your family. But I don't know why man gets so offended when they get blanked or they get... It's not personal.
Bro, it's just
the
pride.
Person
people
didn't see any benefit in you for them, so they didn't time, work with yeah. you. Mm. You wait until they do. And if at that time you still want to work with them, then you do. And if you don't, then you don't.
Yeah.
Ants, even though we had a 3 video a week deal, there are weeks only one got posted. You think I hit him with mad aggression, like, bro, we had a deal for him to say to me, you know what, bond the deal, we ain't doing it no more. Mm-hmm. That's all he would have had to say to me, and then I don't get nothing posted. I humbled myself, and when he posted, he posted, and when he didn't, he didn't, and I accepted it, bro. And sometimes you got, because what people do in this game, people enter the arts and leave working a 9-to-5 and enter the arts and start living like they made it already. When you started your job, you had to start as the person that put the milk on the shelf. Why do you feel like in the arts, you can start as the big man? Doing anything you want, every way you want. No, there's going to be some metaphorical milk having to be put on the shelf. And that is me making a deal with somebody and sometimes they don't fulfill it completely.
It's a lot of letdowns.
Because it's a busy... How much people do you think message Ants a day?
It's thousands.
Thousands, definitely. He probably doesn't see half of them.
And I think this is the thing. It's about finding a route in that nobody else has, found. And I have an anecdote of this. Like, my friend Nabil Alderkin, who is Kanye West's go-to director, he became Kanye West's go-to director because he bought KanyeWest.com before Kanye was famous. Rockefeller Records then got in touch with him and they were like, how much do you want for this website?
That's what Alhan does, you know.
And he was like, I just want to shoot him.
That's what he does.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. Like, for me,
that is genius.
I think there is, but you have to have that in you. Yeah. Like, you had that in you.
And you've got to think. You've got to use your mind and think.
He's like, bruv, do you want me to verify your account? You can make it Big Zoo instead of It's Big Zoo.
Yeah. But this is
I think he got Trace, AJ Tracy.
You gotta find a way.
You have to, and I think it's that element of whatever it is in your brain isn't in everybody's brain.
Yeah exactly. Hard. You had that, and that's because you knew there was better out there. You knew you come from this, and there's no stopping for me now. Because that is the lifestyle I want to achieve.
Yeah, no,
this is something I'm so passionate about, and you kept pushing, and you know, you found a way, not an excuse. A lot of people will find an excuse to stop, and that's where you can differentiate who has that drive.
What about for yourself? How was your journey? Yeah.
To be honest,
getting into becoming a violinist and that.
I started playing at a very young age.
Oh, okay, so you've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I was fortunate in that my auntie, she played the violin. I saw her play at a concert one time. I was like 5. And around the time, my mum was one of those parents who's always getting me and my brother involved in something. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Football. Every holiday, we're doing this summer camp, that summer camp, even if we didn't want to. But I saw her play and I was like, yeah, you know what? I want to play the violin. And it was something that I just took to naturally. Yeah. Me and my brother done it together. He was more of a practical person in other things. He was more into his sports. I like sports, but you can't ask me to take a free kick because that's going all the way over there, even if I enjoyed it. Do you know what I mean? So I stuck with the violin. It wasn't easy. Obviously, you get to around 12, 13, you're thinking, all my boys are going to kickball. Mm. Everyone's going to parties. I'm here practicing. Like, what is this all for? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it was all classical music. I haven't grown up hearing classical music. Like, I come from a Caribbean household. All I'm hearing is... I'm hearing reggae all the time. Mm. My dad went through this Tupac phase where just playing bare hip hop outside the school and people looking at us like, who are these hoodlums? But yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, for real.
My dad was playing mad gospel outside my school.
So yeah, it was like, it was an upbringing that kind of incorporated just the typical Caribbean way and the violin, which was new to me. But I started to take to it, got used to it, and I saw it as this thing that kind of opened doors. But it got to a point when it was like, okay, I've finished education now. That was before uni.
Yeah.
I've played the violin so far. It's got me scholarships. It's gotten me access to different places. But I'm at a point now where I haven't actually seen a future in the violin because all I've known is classical music. I'm not going to be a soloist in an orchestra. I'm not going to be, you know, a famous violinist. I want to put this down. I want to go to uni, you know, be a new person, be who I want to be. Find myself, all of this stuff, you know? But it was like first year of uni where my housemate, he was like, you know what, you shouldn't hide this thing, you know? It's a gift you've been working on. It's a talent that you have. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it. I was never really ashamed of it, but let's be real. Like, the violin wasn't really cool. Like, I think
it's wavy. Yeah. Me and my brothers, we're kind of like a bit like weird like that. We love classical things, but I get you. You're not going up to be like, hey, see man's cello. I would definitely say that if I could, bro.
Like, when you want to hear some Mozart in a girl's
ear. How much girls hear that? How much girls hear that?
No, obviously, I get you, but obviously, you're trying to.
You back out the violin in the cheek, though. That confused the life out of everyone.
You see rappers and you think, that's cool.
That's the little
way. You hear singers, you're like, that's cool. You see guys kicking ball, that's sick. Yeah, and you're like, you know, that's the way. But
that's about role models, though.
I get what you're saying.
How you grow up, isn't it? And then, obviously, I've been to uni. Somebody, was putting a band together for a showcase. Mm-hmm. But he was a drummer and he was making a band to play like all Afro beats, hip hop, R&B. He found out I played the violin and he was like, yo, like, do you want to play with us? And I was like, so what, where's the sheet music? Like, what do I play from? Like, all of this stuff. And he's like, no, we're not doing it that way. He's like, this is the set list.
Just flex
Candy Shop, 50 Cent. Oh. Wayne Wonder, No Letting Go. Mm. And I was like, raw, so what? I'm supposed to just learn it by ear. So said, so done. We must have had like 2 days practice, done the show, and honestly, the reaction was wild. Like, I've never experienced this. Mm. Everyone might, like, all my peers, everyone's like gassed, everybody's shouting, everybody's screaming. And that's when it really, like, something in my mind clicked. And I was like, you know what? This is actually a way I can go that no one else is doing. Like, a young black violinist, 100%. that's unique.
Yeah. It's a marriage of the two worlds.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's what people appreciated. Yeah. So from there, people started sending me covers on Twitter of like another violinist. And I was like, you know what? I can do this too. Yeah. So it wasn't even competitive, but it's more like, rah, like this is what's out there. Yeah. Let me get involved. Let me jump in. Funny, it's a scene that we can kind of build. And then started doing videos. And from there, ACSs started booking me for their shows, like end of year balls and stuff like that. And really just took it from there. But obviously I was studying at the same time. So the violin was just like a side hustle. It was like my side thing. And then studying was the main thing. Mm. But from there, it just grew. Following started to slowly grow. And the end of uni was where I really had to make a decision where am I going to go and study more to be a psychologist? No, because that was never really the plan. But am I going to be able to make a living from the violin, from music? And yeah, I just kind of had to find my feet from there. But yeah, it's been really good since then.
Congrats, I feel like.
Uni was more of, I'm involved in the uni circuit with my violin. I'm playing at ACS events. But it was when I finished uni, I had about 6 months where I was sitting down doing nothing. I feel like a lot of people have that phase where they don't know what they want to do in life, especially if their degree hasn't pushed them in a specific direction, which is what kind of makes people think a lot of the time that uni is a waste of time, because for some people it is. But and I was at that point where I'm sitting down thinking, like, did I actually just waste 4 years? But I thought, you know what, let me put my all into this. I'm going to keep up with my covers. I'm going to see what bookings I can get from Instagram and whatnot. And the guy that I was following on YouTube throughout uni is called Damon Escobar. He's a violinist. He's from America. He made it look cool. He was playing R&B. He was playing the hip-hop. He was playing the soul. And I just, that's what resonated with me. And that's what really made me think, you know what, I'm going to push this even more. And then he had a tour where he came to London. I think it was about 2 years ago in October. So he was playing at Islington Assembly Hall. I bought tickets because I thought, you know, I want to see how it's done, really. I've been performing, but this is the guy. And I went on my own. No one was on it. I asked my brother, are you trying to come to this concert with me? He wouldn't even come to my own shows, let alone another violinist. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to just go on my own. I went and something amazing happened, man. Like, I was just in the audience. There were two women I was chatting to in the queue who happened to live literally the next road to me in my house. So I was chilling with them in the show. And it got to a point in the show where there was like a technical difficulty. The drums weren't working. The bass guitar weren't working. I don't know if it was staged or not, but Damon Escobar, he called out to the audience and he was like, hey man, we got any violinists? Excuse the accent. Not about it.
It's all right, don't
worry. But yeah, so he said, have we got any violinists in the audience? Yeah. There were a couple of people over there going, woo, woo, yeah, yeah. I was there like, I was kind of, my hand was half up, but the two women I was with, proper hype women, I love them for this. They're like, over here. So he was like, who are you? And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like, come on up, come play for us.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, took my jacket off, sprinted up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Hopped on the stage.
We didn't even have your violin, you had to use an instrument.
I didn't have
one.
My violin. He was on the stage, and he gave me his violin and he said, play something for us.
Oh, that's even harder, isn't it?
Yeah, for real. And that was his whole fan base. Like, this was a packed out Islington Assembly Hall. That's, I think, mad. Like, I don't know, 700, 800. Like, it was packed out. And honestly, everything I'd ever learned, anything I'd ever played in any of my sets was gone.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to remember anything. Like, my mind was blank. It was just pure adrenaline. And in my head, I was saying, Jesus, take the wheel. And from that point onwards, I don't know what I played. To this day, I can't tell you.
Wow.
I tried to tell the guitarist, play the bass line for Rock the Boat by Aaliyah. I know that one. In my head, I'm trying to formulate everything. Yeah. But at that point, I played it in the wrong key. I was like, oh, damn. Like, it's over. But yeah, the hunger just kicked in and I started playing. The further along it got, the audience started getting into it.
Of course.
And by the end of it, I was just, I don't know what I was playing. I got to the end, I done some big finish, like, duh-duh-duh-duh-duh-sh. Everyone went wild.
Oh,
everyone went wild.
I'm sick, bro.
The guy then gave me his bowl. He was like, I was like, oh, you want me to play again? He was like, no, it's for you. Everybody supported. I jumped off the stage. Everybody said, oh, how can I follow you? Have you got albums out? Have you got this out? Do you tour? Do you go to other countries? I'm just like, huh? I'm like, I've just been doing this for a little while. Like, I'm not there yet, but I just embraced it. And since then, he's come back to London one time. He showed me love every time. And I don't know, that's just one of the things that pushed me to keep on going. And since then, I've been playing at weddings. I've done a few weddings abroad. A few other people have noticed on Instagram, and I've been touring like a couple countries in Europe with another artist. I think she's called Ebony Bones, and it's just things have been taking off, and it's all through just pushing, putting out my videos on Instagram. And one thing I think is important as well, if you're an artist and you're pushing yourself and you're doing these shows, don't just be that guy that shows up, does what we got to do, and then go home. Mm. Like, always try and stay, always socialize, always make yourself be remembered. Like, always enjoy what you're doing, embrace every moment, and don't try and rush anything. Yeah. Just live in the moment. And I think that's something that's helped me. That even goes as far back as 2 days ago. Long story short, I won't drag this out, but this violin right here, I was coming back from Switzerland 2 days ago after a gig. Believe I left this violin on the train.
Really?
Left it on the train. I was getting off the train in Victoria. I had my suitcase. I was so tired. Only slept for like an hour. And it just slipped my mind. I was in tunnel vision. I saw my bed. I saw my pillows. I was like, I need to get there. I was trying to get out of Victoria. Yeah. And it's only when I got to the central, the Victoria line at the barriers, I'm thinking, why do I feel so light? Like, I didn't just go toilet. Like, why am I so light? No, but and then I realised, crap, I left it. I went back to the platform. No one wanted to help me. Everyone's like, oh, cool, lost property. So, but there was one person who decided to take the time out. He said, he checked the timetable. He said, which train are you on? Let's see where it's going now. He said, it's going to Brighton. You might have to wait an hour till it gets to Brighton. I'll call them. They can have a look on the train. I'm hanging around the Victoria station. Oh, like, these times, I left my toothbrush in Switzerland. I was sitting there feeling dirty and sweaty. I just want to get home. I text him in an hour. I'm like, any luck? What's happened? He said, nah, no luck at Brighton. They checked. They couldn't find it on the train. I'm thinking it's all over. This violin, I've had it for like maybe 10 years plus. Like, it's history. Man. It's history right there. I was thinking, what's going to happen? Like, I've got a lot of things going on this week. I haven't got a violin anymore. So I text him. No, he calls me back. I was calling around other stations. They're all saying, check lost property. It's open Monday to Friday. And obviously it was a Saturday. So I'm thinking, right, it's all over. It's all over. But I call him and he says, oh, yeah, no luck, but I'm staring at this shiny black violin case. So I was like, huh? Like, what happened? And he was like, do you play at weddings? And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, oh, you played at my friend Lito's wedding. Like, the other day, I think it was like May times. And he said, yeah, I was there. I thought I recognised you. I seen you play. And he said, if you were anybody else, if you didn't know him, I would have sent you on your way a long time ago. But from your friend of his, and I remember you, you're a good person. Like, I knew I had to see this through to the end. So it just, like, it was another reminder to me to always stick around, always treat people good. And they'll remember you and they'll repay you in other ways, even if you think nothing is going to come of just of always doing that extra thing for someone or talking to them. Or, like, I always make sure when I go to these weddings, I give them a CD of mine just as like a gift, or I get them a wedding gift. These little things are always gone an extra mile, and this has come back round. And he said, yeah, the only reason I helped you is because of how you were at the wedding. So he found my violin.
How did he find it?
Imagine, it went to Brighton.
Yeah.
Came all the way back.
Okay.
It was in the same place. Oh, wow. So the people at Brighton lied. Yeah, yeah. They said they looked on the train. They didn't, because it was still in the same spot. Sorry, yeah.
Wow.
It reminds me of when I used to work in London.
Crazy.
People used to walk in and say, do you have this? Whatever they said, I said no. And they'd go around the shop and show it to me. And then they'd be looking at me. I'd be looking at them. I'd be like, what do you have to tell me? What happened? Now, do you want me to serve you or not? Like, do you want it? Do you want the jello or not?
Everybody on the show, Zoo and I, will ask you guys to bring an item of choice. It could be a poem, it could be a piece of literature, it could be a tweet, could be a rap.
Fried chicken.
Could be fried chicken, usually something written, but fried chicken will work. Why?
You said I threw off your whole thing.
Yeah.
So. That was the point.
Okay, so what item have you bought?
You asking me first? Or?
Either of you. You best both have an item.
Yeah, nearly forgot it. No, I'm joking. Not after yesterday. But yeah, I got my violin with me. Yeah. I think it's the only thing that made sense. But yeah.
You might have to back it out.
You want to see it?
Come.
You want to see it?
Obviously, this is a podcast.
This is, yeah.
But we got cameras.
We got cameras.
So don't worry. Cameras. I love violin. One of my friends is called the Grime Violinist.
Yeah, I know her.
And
she
plays grime on the violin.
Yeah.
And I've spat bars with her. It's just so fun, bro.
Yeah, she's cool. And like, she, this is why I say the violin scene, it's like, I like to feel like we're growing a little scene.
Yeah, 100%.
Because even her, like, she, if there's a booking she can't make, she's brought me and she's been like, James, can you make this? I mean, I'm not in the country. Like, can you take this booking for me? I've done the same for her. She didn't do it, but yeah.
You're supporting each other. You're supporting each other in something that is actually making you get through life.
What's the violin DMs like? Like, what is the... I just want to know. I feel like, I confidently feel like if I could play violin, somebody would be on me for that. I really believe that.
Oh, your violin's lit.
Yeah,
it's a bit... It's a bit burnt, but
how old is
this? Was refurbished, so it's not even like originally made. I don't know how old it is, and it does look kind of old.
No, that looks like
does it have a name? Can you
I prefer
to call
it vintage.
All right, you know what?
All right.
Straight into
it. I was like, you really paid me like that, but I'll do it.
This is his bow.
That's the bow.
This one here is his bow. So I use it if I'm recording and performing. This is the bow. Yeah, I'll use that one then.
This is a special.
Do you have to like keep it fixed and like keep it clean and stuff, or update it, or?
Yeah. Do you know what? Okay, have you guys ever played Assassin's Creed?
Yeah.
You know where you go to the whatever it's called, the locksmith or whatever. You go and you upgrade your blades.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All them little purchases.
Yeah, yeah.
You could do the same thing with my violin.
Oh, basically.
I went to one.
You got specs.
Yeah, you got specs. Like, this is the fingerboard right here. Woo! I went to the proctor. He was like, "That's a bit low. You should make that a bit higher." So I was like, "You know what? Next time I'm gonna upgrade that." He's like, "My bridge is a bit wonky. Get that straighter." You know, there's loads of different things.
Yeah, you gotta keep it updated.
To keep it up to date.
So basically, when you get the ultimate check, the golden violin's coming.
Yeah,
with the mad bow.
For real.
Okay, we're loading up the violin. Why we load up the violin, Simon? So you got an item for us?
I've got my BBC pass.
Oh, that is a great one.
I tell you,
that's a great one.
I tell you, yeah. When I first got this year, they used to tell me off about the pass all the time, because I'd wear the pass on days when I wasn't going to work. I was so proud. And it was like, if you can't do that, because, you know, sometimes like people are after people that work at the BBC. Sometimes people have negative feelings about the people that work at the BBC. Something you might have said on air, people might be after. I didn't care about none of that. I was walking the streets of Brum with this like it was a piece of jewelry.
Because it lets you into the building.
Yeah. And for ages I didn't have one. So I had to wait for somebody to let me in every time. When I got, even to this day, when I walk in and I just click this on the thing and it just let me in. I feel gassed, bro. The photo that I have on it does look like a mugshot, but hey, whenever I can get that changed. Can you confirm that it looks like a mugshot, Finn?
I can confirm.
Now that's sick, man. That shows the progression, bro.
Nah, man, it is a prized possession of mine, even though I've lost about three of them. But like, it is.
I remember when you lost your pass.
You guys had to let him in. Yeah, yeah. Nah, B's losing them. But, shouldn't even say that, but yeah, no. It's something that obviously is a prized possession of mine. The sentiment that comes with it, because it's just the sentiment of I remember, you know, when they I've been looking for a job in this industry, because you know the feeling of there's a security that having a job brings you. You know what I mean?
Especially in BBC, bro.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. Exactly. And it's a nice feeling, and it does a lot for you when you're out there as well. And it as a comedian, it separates me. In many ways. And I like that as well. So definitely.
Sick, man. All right, go on. We're gonna get a little rendition here.
Go with it.
Yeah, go on, Jay. We'll put it on you.
Something. Little.
Just something little.
Alright, cool. Mm-hmm. Who knows? You guys know Drogba, really.
Yeah, come on. Alright, just a quick. Right, he's about to get. Hey. Hey!
That sounds hard, bro.
Chase! Joanna! Hey! Hey!
Joanna!
Chase!
That's hard. Is that because you heard us talking about Love Island?
Oi! That's hard!
There's a different twang on it, and it's different. It's got an accent.
Yes.
From accent.
Oh my days! That's how you know I love music. I'm very happy.
You can't tell me the DMs ain't flourishing. You can't tell me that. I refuse to believe it, bro.
I'm not even going to speak on that.
Hey, that is so lit. We got to do something. You got to melodize all my songs. So obviously things have worked out for you guys.
Yeah.
I know you like that one. No, obviously, you know what I'm saying? You lot are doing well. Like, you lot have obviously gone through what you've gone to get to a position of life where you're doing stuff that people consider like a hobby or like something that you find fun, and you're turning that into, like, you know, making money. So what advice would you give, like, young people who are, like, in that position, like, maybe, like, after college, don't know what they want to do, if they want to go uni, or if they want to invest into, the time into getting a career? Like, what advice would you give them?
I would say going to uni is never a bad thing if you make it work for you.
Yeah.
Agreed. Have an idea of what you're going there for. Don't just make it for the sake of it, because then it will be a waste of time, unless you're lucky and you're blessed and things work out the right way. But have a vision in mind. If you don't want to go, don't force it, because there's always another way to make it work. I've got friends that never went to uni, that just that done apprenticeships, that are now high up in their field. But I also have friends that have got graduate schemes through uni and are now earning 30K as soon as they step out of uni. So you can't always make it work for you. Use your time wisely. If you do want to go into a creative field, I would say use the time to invest into your craft, whether you go to uni or not. On the side, have a part-time job. Always try and earn money. But yeah, it's not a bad thing. I would say it's not a bad thing. Times have changed, though. I would say that saying you have a degree in England, it doesn't hold as much weight as maybe it used to. But then again, England ain't the only place in the world. If you go to another country and you say, yeah, I've got this degree, other people might look at it like it's a gold plaque. But it doesn't hold the same weight here anymore. So don't feel the pressure of society and parents necessarily to force yourself to go if you have another plan and another vision that you can make come to life without going to uni. So that's what I would say.
Sidemare.
Yeah, I'll just say, ask yourself the question of whether that's what's going to be best for you. And I'd also give advice to the parents as well to encourage their kids to ask that question and to kind of like eliminate the stigma.
Schools.
Yeah, and schools. Yeah. And to eliminate the stigma of, yeah, definitely, and schools as well too, yeah. And eliminate the stigma of if you didn't go to uni, that means you're not accomplished or intellectual. It's just a choice of what would be best for your career.
100%.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. This whole podcast, I've been smiling, like, listening to your stories. Mm-hmm. You're so inspiring, both of you. Yeah, it's sick. It's so... And I think that every... I don't know about you, Zoo, but I feel like every listener listening in is going to be like that. I want to be like those guys. I want to have a story like those guys.
Yeah, man, inspiration.
Zoo, do you think... What are your thoughts on uni?
I mean, man, dropped out, now I owe them 27 bags.
So, on that note...
J-Hope. And Simon, yeah. They have been amazing. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for having me.
Powerhouses.
Boom.
Hey, guys, if you're loving the podcast and want to support the cause, make sure to rate and review us.
Make sure you tell your friends and follow us on Insta and Twitter
at
This Is Spoke Pod.